It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome on this preparation day, the day before the Sabbath. It's Friday. Now, the world would say there's something spooky about this day. We would say this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Of course, they say it's Friday the 13th, and there's something spooky about that. Friends, God is in control of this world. Satan is not in control of this world. God has allowed him to exist because he needed. Because men and angels had not seen this thing called sin, if God had destroyed Lucifer, then the world would have chosen to accept God because of fear. So God had to let sin play out. It's playing out its final drama, friends. There's a chapter of our book called The Creator Theater and the Last Play on Broadway. We're entering into that last play. It's time for us now to have our opening prayer. My wife, Andringa, will take us through the throne of grace. Amen. I'll go ahead and have our prayer.
Father in heaven.
Okay.
We thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that your spirit would come and be with us. As your word is open, we pray for the anointing words to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your Holy Spirit. We also ask, Lord, that you would help us to grow in grace and in wisdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time. It's about time. It's about time for
All right, my brothers and sisters, this is a talk, this is a series on the high priest. The high priest, and this is part one. We'll be reading from Exodus 28, verses 1 through 5. Exodus 28, 1 through 5. So worship is the high priest, our great high priest, part one. And then we will, in wellness, be hearing from Sister Lenny as she talks about the effects of coffee. Let me make sure I get that right. Give me a second. I'm in the wrong program here. Hold on. Let me just make sure I have the right title. Yes, the effects of coffee will be our wellness topic for today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. We ask that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to us at this time. We are grateful that you have called us to worship you, and we ask that you will bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 28, my dear friends, it says, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Now, brothers and sisters, we know that Aaron was the high priest. And so when this word is glory, that means it represents character. So he is the symbol of Christ's character and the things that he wears and the ministry that he does. Teaches us the various components of Christ's ministry. And so glory represents character. How do we know? Because in Exodus 33:18, Moses asked, "Show me thy glory." God responded and said, "I will pass by and make my goodness pass before you," in verse 19. And then in Exodus 34, when he passed by, he proclaimed, it said, the Lord God, merciful, gracious. He proclaimed character traits. So the glory is his character, okay? And so we have to be like Jesus. He has set for an example that we should follow and live like he lived. So what we're saying basically is that when you look at the great high priest, it teaches us about Jesus, but it also gives us lessons for our own character. So we should represent Christ in character and for beauty. It doesn't mean outward beauty, although it was a beautiful garment. It was representing the beauty of character. You know, when you are Christ-like, friends, you not only do the right thing, you're a pleasant person. You're a nice person to be around. You have a good spirit about you. Daniel was liked by the king. The king didn't know much about God before Daniel, but Daniel had a good spirit, friends, and the king liked Daniel. Pharaoh liked Joseph because of the spirit that was that he exuded. "And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." Now the garments were holy. Friends, we should dress in a way that represents God. Now a lot of people think that that means that we can only wear a solid color, or we have to look like we, had clothing that matched that of the 1700s or the 1800s, and that's not true. We should be pleasant, and it can be appropriate for the time that we live, but we should, when people look at us, they should get a solemn sense of holiness, but a pleasantness that they see in us, and the garments should represent the pleasantness of Christ, my friend. So nothing that we wear should be sensual, where someone looking at us, or flashy, someone looking at us, it would be a distraction. It might be different from the world, and in that way, people might, notice you, but it's because they see something special. When a woman is dressed modestly, men tend to be more respectful. Now, I know we live in a terrible time and a lot of respect is gone, but I would still say that a modest woman dressed would get more men to say, good morning, ma'am, and open the door for her than an immodest woman. She would get different conversation when she walked by. And so, friends, we just want to remind you that our clothing should represent righteousness. Okay, so just keep that in mind. This is talking about the clothing of the high priest representing the beauty and character of Jesus. And notice in verse 5, it says, and they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. So what were they? Gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. Okay, so gold. What does gold represent? I have a quotation from a wonderful book. And this is just based on the scriptures, but in Counsels on Health, page 402, the gold tried in the fire, that's referencing Revelation 3, where the Laodiceans were to buy gold tried in the fire. The gold tried in the fire represents love and faith. So faith and love are the gold tried in the fire. Many are nearly destitute of love. So gold represents faith. Gold represents love. Friends, Jesus was clothed. The high priest had gold in his clothing, and we should have faith and love. If you have faith and love, you have the foundation. You can do anything with faith. This is the victory, even our faith, talking about what overcomes the world in 1 John 5:4. And so gold, faith and love. And then notice that the next color was blue. And so we share this verse, these verses from Numbers 15, 38, and 39. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. So they had to wear a border of blue around the base of their garments. What does it mean? And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord. And do them, that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. So, my friends, it represents the commandments of God. It represents obedience. So you have the faith and love, and faith and love led to obedience to God's commandments. You see, that was the blue. So you have the gold. You have the blue. And then you had scarlet. Now, scarlet, if you look at it, you can go on Google and look at scarlet. You can't really tell the difference between scarlet and red. And the way scarlet was made, there was, I think, a particular worm was used, and it was beaten to get the coloring out and all that. So it represents sacrifice. Obviously, it's similar to the color of blood. And so it would represent the fact that Jesus would die for us and that his blood would be spilled on Calvary. So you have gold, which represents faith and love. You have obedience to God's commandments. You have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, my friends, that he did for us on Calvary's cross. And then the final color that we need to talk about is purple. Now, purple is a combination of red and blue, or scarlet and blue, because you can't really tell much difference between scarlet and red. So that makes purple, my friends, and that represents royalty. Purple is the color of royalty. So when you mix obedience to the commandments with the sacrifice, sacrificial, self-sacrificing life, so obedience to God's commandments, which is the blue, mixed in with the self-sacrificing life, you have royalty, my friends. And so I will take you to a scripture where we see purple mentioned. I'm going to John, and this is John chapter 19, and I'm going to start with verse 1. Look at this. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, royalty, although they were mocking him. and said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I will bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to behold Jesus. But purple represents royalty, even though it was put on him in a mocking way. Crown was put on him of thorns in a mocking way. Oh, Jesus took those thorns and he wore them gracefully because his crown does include sacrifice. He's not called us to wear a crown of thorns. He is, but he has called us to be faithful. So that's part one, my friends. Let's be like Jesus. He was pure, he was holy, he was undefiled, he had faith, he had love, he had obedience, and we can be like Jesus.
Teach me, Father, what to say. Teach me, Father, how to pray. Teach me all along the way how to be like Jesus. I
don't even know if I remember. Give me a second, folks. There it is.
I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to daily grow more and more like Jesus. Teach me as the days go by. Teach me not to reason why. Teach me that to do and die is to be like Jesus. Teach me that the time is short. Teach me how to live and work. Teach me that to never shirk is to be like Jesus. The last verse says, teach me how we may be one, like the Father and the Son. And when all is overcome, I will be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. I would be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, to daily grow more and more like Jesus.
Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to be like Jesus. He represented through Aaron and his clothing righteousness. He represented holiness. He represented commandment keeping, faith and love, self-sacrificing labor. Help us to be like Jesus and want all those traits also. It's totally different than the way of the world where there is the desire to be first, the desire to have the highest place. We would rather, Father, have silver. We'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. We'd rather be his than have riches untold. We'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. We'd rather be true to his holy name. Bless us on this preparation day that we will have a preparation day like no other, but we will have surrendered our hearts to the lovely Jesus today. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, friends, as we prepare for our wellness segment of the broadcast, we do so with our torso song, and that's what we will hear at this time.
kind, place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
The Effects of Coffee will be presented by Sister Lenny.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Friday. I will be talking about the effects of coffee this morning. Coffee is the favorite drink in the United States, as tea is in Great Britain. Even though the coffee plant is seldom, if ever, cultivated in the United States, more than 2 billion more than 2 billion pounds of coffee is consumed in the country each year. This is equal to at least half of the world's supply. Those who drink coffee dote on its aroma and flavor. Many have decided preferences regarding some particular blend. But taste and aroma alone do not account for the popularity of coffee. There is a deeper reason. Coffee gives a lift which so habituates its users that they cannot perform their usual activities without a cup or two. Coffee becomes a crutch on which they depend for a starter in the morning, for a pick-me-up at the coffee break, for the pep on social occasions, and for a stimulant to keep themselves awake. It is more than the taste of coffee that accounts for this effect. Decaffeinated coffee does not produce a lift and is therefore not acceptable to the person accustomed to drinking regular coffee. Another evidence that it is the caffeine that stimulates is that this drug administered as a medicine affects a person the same as a cup of coffee. A cup of coffee, as usually prepared, contains about 100 milligrams of caffeine. Caffeine is a drug familiar to the physician, it being an old-time stimulant. It stimulates primarily the brain. It may quicken the thought processes, making the drinker alert. It may also stimulate the heart, increasing the blood pressure and quickening the pulse. Incidentally, it also increases the amount of water eliminated through the kidneys. Many people who drink coffee regularly find it impossible to do without it. They become virtual addicts to caffeine. Caffeine is a drug, okay? You have to wean yourself off of it. Say you are a person who drinks 3 cups of coffee a day. Well, the next day, try 2 cups of coffee. And then that next day, try 1 cup of coffee until you can feel like you're weaning yourself off. Drinking a lot of, lots of lemon water, that's going to really, really help you. Some of the alternatives I want to give you this morning that you can use in place of coffee have been very effective with some people. One is called Beyond Coffee. The second one is chicory root powder. Now, something I need to share with you about chicory root powder. If you are a person with allergies, like to ragweed or birch pollen, that won't be good for you. You might want to try something different, okay? The other one is fig infusion. One is postum. Some may be familiar with postum. And the other one is roasted date seed, which is also called metadate. Now, these items you can purchase on Amazon. So I hope that this helps someone today. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah, there's a lot of people addicted to coffee. You know, when I would have work, physical work to do, contracting, get up early in the morning, you run to the gas station, whatever, so many people just hat in there to get their coffee so they could even function for the day. But friends, God is a better, has better stimulants and that are not that don't hurt your body. And so we want to encourage you on that. The things that Sister Lenny mentioned, most of them, if not all of them, I wasn't familiar with all of them, but you can make a nice hot drink with them and post them, some of the others. But also want to mention to you that just to get energy and a little pickup without any bad effects, try things with ginseng. We have that in our AAA Super Tonic. Not so much for a hot drink, but at the same time, it helps you get some energy. So just go to our website. I don't know, I may be able to type it in here. Torso.org, and it should be product/. I'm just going to say torso.org because I'm not sure how the spelling is on the link. But if you go to torso.org and just type in the search box and type in AAA because it's called our AAA Super Tonic Superfood. It's just something I take every day. It really helps to keep you lots of nutrition. It's got immune-building properties, but it has things that give you energy. So just want to mention that. All right. The phone lines are open. If there is anyone, we'll start with roll call. We have South Carolina on Facebook. Okay. We have Ohio. We have Alabama. We have Maryland. We have Delaware. We have Missouri. We have Ohio. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Georgia. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. Okay? God is good. Is there anyone else that would like to share anything? Please feel free to. Yeah, go ahead.
Michelle, I want to just share that the information that I gave this morning came from a book called You and Your Health, Volume 1, page 411.
Okay, wonderful. It was wonderful information. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone want to share anything? You press *6. We have about 25 minutes to the top of the hour. If anyone wants to share anything, please feel free to do so. We will have service one tomorrow, my brothers and sisters, and our topic is the golden calf, the golden calf. So definitely, if you want to join us for worship, that will be on Zoom. So the Zoom ID, 557-587-3947. That's 557-587-3947. And the password is torso. We will put a link on Facebook. We'll put a link on the WhatsApp list on either this evening or tomorrow. And we look forward to worshiping the Lord with you today, with you at that time. This is preparation day. Sun sets earlier than it does in the summertime. So let's make sure we don't add any unnecessary things that we can welcome in. the Sabbath day and not be rushing sunset. All right, my friends, there's no one in the queue. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Of, to close us out.
Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time of having this worship. We thank you for your word, and we pray that each of us will be able to study these things out for ourselves as we continue to allow your spirit to teach us. We ask for special blessings to be granted to each one on the line. Give us what we need, Lord, to make it not just through this day, but to eternity. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to serve you righteously, and certainly to allow you to change us into your image. We pray that you will prepare us for our fiery trials. Help our hearts and our minds to be stayed on Jesus, our eyes upon you, Lord, because you are soon to come. We ask that you will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help us on this day of preparation to be able to usher in your beautiful Sabbath. And as we do, Lord, help us to keep your Sabbath holy, to honor it, to watch our words, how we speak. Let us be aware of these things, our conversations, how we commune one with another. And especially allow us to spend that intimate time with you during the sacredness of the Sabbath. We ask, Lord, that you will bless everyone as we continue throughout this morning. May we continue our communion with you. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. He shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. Happy Preparation Day, and God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship.